This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, we are back. Hour 2, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Again, you can connect with us online many different ways and platforms at eRadio Sports Info, eRadioSports.com, and PodcastArena.com. Also, give our producer a follow at JackMC15 and O'Reilly Auto Parts. They will help make your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier. So when your car isn't stopping like it used to, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the parts and supplies you need to do the job right the first time. Now, for a limited time, you can save 15% when you buy any set of Brake Best pads and 2 Brake Best rotors. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. We got to pot up the mic. Yep, we want Jack to weigh in on the NFL draft. The countdown is on. It's going to be a little bit later this month, starting April 23rd. And there are some big names we are looking forward to. Who is more likely to succeed in the NFL, Tua or Joe Burrow? What say you, Jack McCraw?
If you ask me this upcoming season, I'm going to say Joe Burrow because I'm not sure Tua is actually going to play for the team that he gets drafted by.
Well, you know, and it's interesting, too, when we think about the draft, this is a 3-day event, and it's been moved from Vegas amid this outbreak and how it's going to be conducted. I mean, these guys could be like, you know, going to their team, you know, sitting in their living room, finding out where they're going to go. How do you think this is all going to play out? And you have to wonder, I mean, there's got to be some level of letdown or maybe disappointment. I mean, they want to be in Vegas. They want to be in a big stage, right?
I think there's some letdown as far as the show spectacle of walking up on stage and shaking Roger Goodell's hand for the draft. But I think guys like Joe Burrow, Chase Young, Tua are all just excited enough to be in the NFL draft. And who knows, maybe that they're with their close family watching them and then they get to see them watch with them. Kind of like what Jameis Winston did in 2015 when he was drafted. He saw it from home, and Marcus Mariota did in 15 when he was drafted by the Titans in Hawaii.
You know, when we think about Joe Burrow and Tua, I mean, obviously there's been a lot talked about in terms of with Tua, with all of the injuries. Who would you go with if you were a team? I mean, who would be, I mean, they're saying what? Who's going to be that overall number one pick?
I'm going to go with Joe Burrow because I think he has the most NFL-ready arm, whereas Tua might be a project in the works.
Hey, he's got that NFL-ready arm, but he's got small hands, right?
Apparently it doesn't matter for guys like Patrick Mahomes, too.
Hey, much more coming your way. SB Nation Radio, always looking forward to a great conversation with the host of Total Sports, KREF 1400. We love him. James Hale, come on back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour 2, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Love to hear from you. Join us always live on Twitter at eRadioSports. And always got to recognize the folks that make it happen. We love our sponsors. Perhaps you have a car problem and you don't know where to go. Maybe you're not close to home when your car breaks down. Let O'Reilly Auto Parts help. With O'Reilly Auto Parts Shop Referral Program, that takes the guesswork out of finding a great shop wherever you are. Call an O'Reilly location near you or visit O'ReillyAuto.com and click Find a Repair Shop to find a reputable repair facility or service center for your repairs. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Well, COVID-19, it has completely shut down our entire world. It's shut down all of sports. And it is time to catch up with the host from Total Sports. And that is my dear friend, James Hale, who's going to weigh in on this pandemic and just its impact specifically with college sports. James, it's been a while since we've had a chance to catch up. It's good to have you on the program. I know it's going to be good to hear your voice. Our listeners, my producer tonight, he was really excited that you're going to be on the show.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, and I'm glad your audience likes what we have to talk about. This will be an interesting talk today with you. You know, your son's coming to OU as a golfer, and he can't even get on a course right now, I don't think. You know, and this great golf course at OU is empty, you know, Coach Hibble is sitting here at OU wishing that he could get his guys out there. He had a great team that was ranked number one in the country.
Yep.
That was one of the better teams that he's had. And it would have been a national title contender, but they don't all of a sudden get to compete for that. How about the women's gymnastics team at OU? The best, one of the best ever with Maggie Nichols. You know, outside of Simone Biles, I'm not sure there's a better gymnast in this country than Maggie Nichols. and the Sooners would have had a great chance to win the national championship there. Patty Gasselin's softball is always really competitive and great. And this OU baseball team was one of the better baseball teams that OU has had in a while. Skip Johnson had put together a great pitching staff, and yet none of us get a chance to enjoy it, see it. They don't get to compete in it. And then spring football was canceled, and that is a, you know, rite of passage around in the state of Oklahoma. So this has really affected all of us. I'm doing my radio show in Norman at home. All my diehard Sooner reports are done at home. Now, those are normally done at home, you know, but, you know, I'm doing all my stuff here at home. But I feel so sad for all the athletes all over the world who all of a sudden don't have a place to play. Then I feel sad for all the fans, too, because they don't have any sports to watch. And I know ESPN's doing what they can to rerun some things. And, of course, E, you're doing what you can do to put together a great show. I'm trying to do the same thing every day. But the safety of everybody out there, and, you know, as we continue to hear stats about, you know, those that aren't making it and those that get it, you know, it's just so sad what we're dealing with today. And this is the first time in my long life that I've had that my God has blessed me with that we're going through this. And I can only hope that, you know, we can rely on his greatness, you know, God's greatness, that he can get us through this.
Host of Total Sports, KREF 1400 in Norman, Oklahoma. Also subscribe. Check him out. He provides some great information every single day, several times a day, in fact. And that is James Hale on Patreon. We're going to talk more about that app. You know, you just broke down all the different sports, the impact of the coronavirus, the cascade of cancellations. And you, as a sports talk radio host, I mean, James, you work so hard, produce an amazing show each and every day for 3 hours, 5 days a week. Talk to our audience about the adjustments you've had to make with your program.
Well, I get asked every day by friends, what are you talking about, James? And I say I'm doing the same thing I do every single day of my entire life since God blessed me with this job that I've started in 1975, that I'm talking sports. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk sports. And everybody says, well, there's no sports. Well, there are sports. What are the guys doing when they're at home, and what are they doing as they're working out? What are the coaches doing as they're sitting at home and they have to have Zoom meetings every day through Zoom online, you know, ways to do it? And how do they keep control of their team? Lincoln Riley talked to the mass media for the first time on Tuesday through a conference call the other day. He came on our radio station a few days before that, which was a blessing for our station, that, you know, he gave Toby Rowland, who's the voice of the Sooners and our morning talk show host, a pretty good scoop there on some things that were going on that were used by media all over the place. And that was a pretty good knock for our station at that time. You know, when he came on, you know, with us, he did 11 minutes. When he did the first meeting with the media through teleconference, he stayed for a little over 30 minutes. So it was interesting to get on a number of topics. But this is what everybody's having to rely on, E, and every day I plan a show. I'm fortunate. I live in a town that we have great coaches that I have worked and I have great relationships with that will still come on and talk about their sports or talk about sports in general with me. And you take a guy like Skip Johnson, who worked for a long time under Augie Garrido at the University of Texas and had some great pitchers there. And he was a great junior college coach in Texas. So he knows a lot of great baseball players that we can draw from and talk about. And that's what I'm doing, E. Every day I'm planning a show, and I'm trying to get great guests on, and I'm trying to get great people on, and I'm trying to get people, you know, to still talk about sports. I mean, we still have a great chance, at least we hope and pray, for a college football season, right, and a NFL season. So, and the NFL's kind of carrying us right now with all the stuff that they've got going. I'm glad they're still going to have a draft, you know, and you know, they're kind of come out with their schedule pretty soon. You got to be proactive. And I'm glad that the NFL is still, you know, going forward as if they're going to have a season. And I think they hope they do.
Well, I was going to say, what do you think the fate is of the 2020 season? It's kind of hard to tell at this point, but
it is. When Lincoln was asked about that, Lincoln was asked if he's making plans or if he's thought at all what it would be like not to have a college football season. He paused and he said, no, I haven't thought about that at all. He goes, I think we will have a college football season. Then he went on and talked about what would need to happen to have that season. He said that he really felt that players had to be returning to campus and be allowed to return to campus by June 1st. And then he said, if it's not June 1st, it can be no later than July 1st. And he goes, if we don't have players back by June 1st or July 1st, that would be pretty telling whether or not we could have a college football season or not. So he's another coach that believes you have to have some kind of training period for the guys to get into an organized training period for the guys to get into before they could really get into training camp and have the season. Now, he did say 20 to 25 practices would be enough to get the guys ready to play a season. Of course, everybody else is going through the same thing, E. There's only so many practices you can have.
Mm-hmm.
He also said he fully expected if practice was going to return during those times that the NCAA would grant maybe more meeting time with them or a few more, you know, right now it's only 20 hours per week. He thought that would be adjusted maybe to 25 to 27 hours so everybody could catch up a little bit. He's disappointed in the latest rulings that only allow for 2 hours of personalized coaching every week because he said we get 20 hours right now because it's spring football. He goes, at least through spring football, we should have more hours where, you know, we can do virtual chalk talks and things like that. And he said, right now, I only got 2 hours per week, and that's kind of frustrating. So he hopes this continues to evolve as they go along and things get better and the rules become more favorable to online teaching and coaching that they have right now.
Okay, we only got about 30 seconds. James, talk to us about former Oklahoma running back that transferred to Ohio.
Sermon.
Yeah, what happened on that?
Well, he just wasn't going to get, you know, in the first couple of years he was here, he had great playing time. Last year, though, Kennedy Brooks became the number one guy. Jalen Hurts was the main ball carrier. That really limited his playing time. Then he tore his ACL. He's rehabbing his ACL, but Kennedy Brooks is back. OU expects to go back to a more of a true running system without the quarterback carrying the ball so much. But he just was pretty disappointed last year. I thought he might transfer, and he is. He's going to Ohio State. I like Trey a lot. If Trey's healthy, he can help the Buckeyes. But the Sooners will still be really good at running back, even without Trey Sermon.
Mm-hmm. Hey, host of Total Sports, KREF. You can check him out online. James, where can they go and subscribe to Patreon?
Just Google James Hale, Patreon.com, or James Hale, Die Hard Sooner Report. The minimum donation is $5 for $5. I promise I'm going to bust my butt and get you the best information OU's got going.
Good stuff. Next Generation of Sports Radio, SB Nation Radio. We will be right back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome back. SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio, the Big E Sports Show. Many different ways to connect. Join us on Twitter at @eRadioSports. And as always, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low, low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day. COVID-19, the conversation continues. We are going to talk about its impact on sports sponsorships and analytics. So it is time to pack our bags. We're going to head to Chicago and check in with the CEO of Block 6 Analytics, and that is Adam Grossman. Good evening, Adam.
Good evening, Alyssa. I hope you're doing well.
Hey, we're hanging in there. And, you know, as I was preparing for our conversation and our interview tonight, I was thinking about, you know what, the last time we had you on the show and our last conversation, we were talking about getting ready for the Super Bowl. You are in Chicago. We're in Houston. So how are things there and how has the city of Chicago responded to this pandemic?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I think Chicago's kind of getting to a place, I think, where New York was, you know, a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
The mayor is, and the governor have closed down. They have a shelter-in-place order through April 30th. They actually had to close down and make a special announcement about the lakefront. So for people not familiar with Chicago, there's Chicago sits on Lake Michigan, and there's a very big lakefront area where there's a bike trail and running trails. And I guess too many people were using them at the same time, so they had to shut those down as well. So, yeah, I mean, it's been looks like, you know, it's just going to be a difficult time, but it's a difficult time for everybody. So hopefully everybody's, you know, staying healthy and safe as much as possible.
Absolutely. And, you know, when we think about this COVID-19, I just, you know, have to wonder, you know, where are we going to be 6 to 8 months from now? You know, we think about all the social distancing. I'm thinking things are forever going to be changed as far as how we greet our family, our friends, and do business, and even our fellow competitors in the world of sports.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's things in the sports world that'll change. And, you know, one of the only few positive things about the coronavirus is, you know, I think we're going to talk about this later on the interview, but it's some of the ways that sports have changed positively in terms of digital distribution of sports. So one of the blog posts that my company did was about the NASCAR iRacing events, and those events have set records on television for the largest esports audience ever for any event that's been on television. So it was over 900,000 people for the first event and over 1.3 million people for the second event. So, you know, I think sports organizations are trying more and different and trying to be creative at the time period to, you know, at the end of the day, you know, people love sports and people want to engage with sports content as much as they can. And if sports leagues and properties can create new ways of engaging with fans, particularly digitally or virtually, in ways that are interesting, compelling, and fun, and, you know, at best replicate the experiences that they've had in an authentic way with the sports that as they normally interact, it really can be something that's really valuable. And again, obviously, there are way more important concerns than, you know, sporting events at times. But, you know, sports is a unifier, whether it's nationally, regionally, on a statewide level, or even locally. And the ability to interact, the ability for fans to connect, the ability of fans to connect with the athletes and drivers, in this case with NASCAR, I think is really important.
The CEO of Block 6 Analytics, Adam Grossman, is with us tonight, SB Nation Radio. You can give him a follow at Block 6 Analytics. And you're so spot on. I mean, just this whole coronavirus, Adam, it's been very disruptive. It's a very difficult time for everyone. And since we're talking about sports tonight, you know, one of the positives, in addition to what you had just mentioned, is, you know, just seeing so many owners and players in the professional sports world, how they're really stepping up and they're giving back during some very difficult times. I mean, I just think about, you know, what the Dallas Mavericks owner, Mark Cuban, he's been very vocal and he's on all news networks, really trying to provide some valuable guidance for CEOs, what they should and shouldn't do. I mean, I'm pretty inspired by his response.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's, you know, one of the things, again, that a crisis can be good at is unifying people, you know, whether it's different political ideologies, even people from, you know, fans from different teams. So when we were conducting the interview, you know, this just came out that Robert Kraft personally purchased over, I think, 300,000 masks.
Yes.
He's also acquired, I think, 1.3 million masks. And again, people, there are a lot of people who hate the Patriots as a sports team. And, you know, Robert Kraft has clearly had his issues at times off the field or outside of the Patriots. But yeah, everybody seems to be rallying around, whether it's Robert Kraft or any of the things that athletes of rival teams have done, you know, to help support the workers, and particularly the workers of these sports teams who have really taken significant hits, just like a lot of people in the economy, and the fact that athletes are willing to sacrifice some of their salaries or sacrifice. And CEOs at a lot of different companies or senior management at a lot of different companies are willing to sacrifice, you know, payment in order to make sure that people can, you know, their employees can still get paid, and that arena workers or stadium workers can be paid as much as they possibly can. I think it's been really something that should be lauded.
Adam Grossman with us tonight, SB Nation Radio. And, you know, we think about sports marketing, obviously, that's your expertise, that's your area. This pandemic, it really, you know, has shut everything down. I mean, all pro sports, NBA, NHL, MLB. I mean, what does this do? I mean, we have no idea when these sports will resume. I mean, what do you think is going through the mind of sports marketing executives right now?
Yeah, and I think probably there's an immediate situation, and then there's the medium and long term. And the immediate situation, you know, one of the things that we obviously focus on is sports sponsorship. And one of the things that people, and they, you know, the industry calls it partnership rather than sponsorship. And the reason they do that is that people, they see the companies that work with those teams as partners. And that's really what's shaping the response right now, is how can we help partners? How can we help their employees? How can we do things that can help those businesses as the properties when they've supported us, you know, in a variety of different contexts, and have been such an integral part of the financial and economic success of these properties. So I think that's the immediate term, is just how can, you know, how can we help fans? How can we help partners? How can we help media organizations just help deal with what's going on right now? I think if you're talking about the medium term and long term,
yes,
you know, again, it is, are people going to come back to games? You know, even in the as everybody sees the, or a lot of people see the press conferences with President Trump and Dr. Fauci, you know, it's just, there, it doesn't, even if there is some recession of the virus in the summer, right, it's possible that it could come back. It's possible that, you know, people are going to be very hesitant to actually go to games.
Right.
It's possible that, you know, the corporate partners that, you know, there's been a lot of corporate partnership deals that have been delayed and, you know, they don't know what their businesses are like, you know, whether that's in the airline industry, whether that's in the airline, financial services, restaurants, beverages, you know, all over the place. It's not clear what the economic impact is going to be. So it's just, it's really hard to, you know, it's, there's a famous book by an economist, Nassim Taleb, called Black Swan, right? It's, this is a black swan, something that's hard, you know, potentially something hard to quantify the risk of what this is actually going to do to people's businesses, because it's such a rare event and something that you would not expect to see. And the idea of, you know, potentially there was just reported that 6.6 million people are filing unemployment claims this week, which is more than the record that was just set last week by like a 2x margin. So it's just, there are going to be serious concerns about the financials of these properties and these teams. And it's a serious concern of, can people buy tickets? Can people subscribe to cable packages? Can companies afford sponsorships? Can, you know, fans afford to buy merchandise? Well, you know, again, it's all of those concerns. And there isn't necessarily a good answer. The only thing you can say is that when, you know, whether it's the financial crisis or 9/11 has happened, that the sports industry has come back and come back strong and arguably stronger than it's ever been before. Now, this is a much different situation, but at least there is some, you know, historical evidence to suggest that the industry could come back in a stronger way.
The CEO of Block 6 Analytics, Adam Grossman, with us tonight, SB Nation Radio. Here we are, the first weekend in the month of April, and you know, this is the time of year we're getting ready for the NBA playoffs. It doesn't even look like the season is going to resume. I mean, Mark Cuban has backed off, perhaps, that they might be able to get things going in the month of May, so there's no timeline, no playoffs. I just have to wonder, how does that work, Adam, as far as with the sponsors? I mean, will their brands be refunded? I mean, and I also wonder about the season ticket holders. I mean, how is that all going to work out?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's still a fluid situation, you know, depending on the contracts that exist, whether that is for sponsorships or for tickets. And, you know, right now, I think there is still hope and potentially the expectation. You know, the Milwaukee Bucks are still preparing as if the season will continue at some point. And there is some ability potentially over the summer, particularly if other things are canceled, that if the NBA or NHL is able to come back and complete the playoffs and then potentially push the season, the following seasons back, so that, you know, they can complete the following season while also having enough time to complete this season. That's a possibility. I think they're still, you know, without knowing when the peak of the virus is going to hit, which it seems like in major cities throughout the country, it could be later this month and then in the middle of next month. And if things really do start to go down by June, I think there is an opportunity for games to resume, at least the playoffs for something like the NHL and the NBA to resume, and Major League Baseball to have, you know, the players have said they're willing to play. Again, we'll have to see if this actually happens, but they're willing to play doubleheaders and try to make up as many games as possible. NASCAR is trying to run all the events that it had in its schedule in a condensed time period. So, you know, again, I think people have tried to put their best foot forward, and I think until it's clear when, you know, it's just really unclear when the virus is going to peak in terms of it, you know, both in terms of people being able to get tested, but also in terms of, you know, when it hits the maximum part of the inflection point in the population where things start to go down. Probably the best example so far is what happened in China with the China Basketball Association. You know, they tried to restart the league with no fans recently, and it did not go well. And I think they're pushing that off for a little while longer. And the teams and the players are going to need, even if it starts to recede, they're going to need some time to, you know, with some form of training camp or to get back into shape with their team. So, yeah, I think, you know, May, I think it's, as Mark Cuban said, is unrealistic, but could something happen maybe in June or July? And I think that's possible. There is a small possibility that this could be the greatest stretch of sports ever starting in July, where all of these playoffs happen and the NFL season starts.
Yeah.
All these golf tournaments come back.
It's going to be crazy.
So there is. You want to see if there, there's some upside. Potentially, it is, if sports are able to come back, then it could literally be just the greatest stretch of sports in the history of the industry, potentially starting in June or July.
Hey, we'll have a lot to talk about if that happens. The CEO of Block 6 Analytics, yeah. We are way up against the clock and over in our time. Always a true pleasure to have with us Adam Grossman. Check him out at Block 6 Analytics. analytics.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, Friday night, welcome back, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Many different ways to connect. We love to hear from all of you at eRadio Sports Info, eRadioSports.com, and PodcastArena.com. We are closely monitoring the COVID-19 breakout and its profound impact on sports, specifically in our next segment with the world of golf. People are unfortunately stuck indoors. You don't have any place to go, but golf is a rare athletic escape. And our next segment, of course, being brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Did you know O'Reilly Auto Parts will help make your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier? So when your car isn't stopping like it used to, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the parts and supplies you need to do the job right the first time. Now, for a limited time, you can save 15% when you buy any set of Brake Best pads and two Brake Best rotors. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Always an honor to go inside the ropes and visit with former PGA Tour player and author, that is Larry Miller. And you know, Larry, now is it's an extraordinary time. We're always looking for some inspiration during this pandemic, and I always look forward to hearing your voice and some encouragement. Good evening. Nice to have you with us on this Friday.
Yeah, good evening again to everybody. And I know one thing for certain, that we are 1 week closer to this being over with. So let's look at it that way. And every day we go by, the days seem to blend together right now, and same old thing every day. But with each passing day, we're a day closer, getting back to normal and getting out there on the links and watching golf tournaments and stuff, and getting people healthy. So let's just hope that the trend continues, that they keep finding ways to combat this thing and stop the spread of it.
We want to be trending in the right direction. I've got a number of questions for you tonight, a lot of things that we actually have to talk about, but give us a quick update. I know you and your wife, you guys are in the state of Louisiana, and wow, I mean, what is the latest from what I heard? I mean, there was like 1,200 new cases in one day.
Yes. We live in the New Orleans area, and it's the third highest death rate per capita in the country. It seems to be a hotbed, and a lot of people are attributing that to Mardi Gras, the fact that we had, you know, 500,000 visitors from all over the world here a couple of months ago.
Right.
And I'm sure that certainly contributed to us being one of the hot spots. And now it's blooming, and every day it's doubling and tripling. And we haven't reached a peak yet, but it's coming. The city is being very, very good about social distancing. I can tell you that. The streets are empty. It's like a ghost town. And normally, you know, very heavy traffic congestion in New Orleans, because New Orleans is a compact area geographically. It's surrounded by water, and it's not a very large, you know, geographical area. So the people are close together, and the traffic's bad. But right now, it looks like everybody left town. And that's good, because that means everybody is staying in and trying everything we can do to stop the spread of this thing. And as soon as we can get a handle on it, well, I think things will drastically improve once it starts declining.
Hey, glad you're with us on this Friday night, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Our weekly guest, of course, is Larry Miller. He is a life member of the PGA of America and former PGA Tour player and author on 4 books on golf and performance. And I just have to wonder, you know, listening to you, Larry, you and your wife, Connie, I mean, you guys are golf crazies. You're playing, you're on the course 6 to 7 days a week. So there's only so much isolation that the human psyche can take. So what kind of things are you guys doing so you don't get down? And maybe what are some things you're doing to boost your mental health during this time of uncertainty?
Well, a couple of things I'm doing. I was in the middle of working on my fifth book, and writing that book, and so this has given me a lot more time to get writing done. I'd rather be on the course, of course, but I'm getting more writing done than usual. I'm also daily homeschooling my 7-year-old grandson.
Oh, that's right, Cam.
He's in first grade and going into second, and the school has, you know, emailed regimen for them to follow. And so I spend about an hour and a half or 2 hours every day with him, trying to keep him engaged in his schoolwork. And then, you know, aside from that, I'm doing a lot of swinging downstairs in the in the parking area in front of a big plate glass window, trying to keep my golf muscles tuned up.
Well, it sounds like, Larry, that you're busier than ever. I find that for myself because everybody, you know, the boys are home doing online school. My husband's working from our kitchen table. So a lot is going on in the Campbell household. It sounds like it for you, too.
Yeah, it's a crazy time for sure. It really is. But, you know, we're adaptable. People are very resilient and adaptable. And, you know, once you get past the initial shock, you settle into a routine, a new routine. And, you know, it's not so bad if you look at it that way. You can't despair over it. What are we going to do? We have to go along with the protocols. And if we do that, it's going to get better. We know that. And so we have to find productive things to do. And for us golfers who are suffering severe withdrawal pain, you know, you can always read about golf and you can listen to the Golf Channel and watch it and, you know, look at some old films and get down there and swing, practice your swing. And, you know, you can do different things to stay engaged with the sport. But, of course, sports right now is, you know, pretty much taking a back seat to all this stuff. But still, we need that diversion. So I would suggest all the golfers out there to stay engaged with it in some way, whether it's through reading or watching or actually, you know, getting out in your backyard, practicing pitch shots and chips, whatever.
Well, I tell you what, I was pretty encouraged to read that Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, that they are possibly going to have this rematch, and they're going to team up with a couple of NFL icons. So that that money will be raised to help with the coronavirus, the relief efforts. And so that actually is some good news. Wouldn't that be fantastic in the month of May to watch that?
Yeah, it sure would. And very, you know, the charitable contributions from that, I'm sure, would be really heavily watched, especially now with people not having anything else to do. So, yeah, I think it would get a tremendous audience and raise a lot of money that could be put to good use during this time. And it would be interesting to see. You know, you've got Mickelson is so entertaining, you know, with his banter.
Uh-huh, for sure.
And his style of play. It's so, you know, he's got an adventuresome style of play where, you know, from one hole to the next, he's going to be in the fairway or middle of the woods. You don't know where he's going to be. And then you've got Tiger Woods, the mystery of Woods, of how his health is, you know, and is he going to, when we start up again eventually, is it going to be good for him that he'll be more refreshed and rested, or is it going to be not good where, you know, the rust is too thick and he's going to have a hard time shaking it off? So that'd be an interesting match and one that would be, I think, very beneficial to society right now.
Well, let's look in the rearview mirror. Of course, this match was played in 2018 in November. We talked about it a lot and previewed it on our program at Shadow Creek Golf Course in Las Vegas. What did you like about that, you know, between Tiger and Phil? And I like this new, the adding of two NFL icons. I think that's pretty cool.
Yes, I think that adds a lot of interest to it and a little diversity to it. You know, the first time they did it, I don't think it was as popular as everyone thought it was going to be because things were normal. You know, we were in the middle of golf everywhere. And, you know, it was sort of a thing where people felt like, well, gee, they're not playing for their own money and it's more of a production. It's more of a PR thing. But I think this time it would be different. I think this time because of the reason that they're doing it and the results from it, you know, that would benefit charitable organizations. I think that brings a whole new, you know, mindset onto it. And I think Tiger and Phil also have something to prove, you know, that they still have it. And so I think this time it would be a lot different than the first time. I think it would be more widely accepted and more widely watched.
You know, I have to wonder, too, because, you know, I would think that the ratings would go through the roof, that there would be a lot of folks tuning in. And I think we're all ready for some fresh content in a rare sporting event between, you know, Mickelson and Tom Brady, Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning. That's would be cool.
Oh, yeah. People are tired of watching Shell Wonderful World of Golf from 1954. they want to see Rory McIlroy bomb it out there, you know, and they want to see Brooks Koepka, you know, contending in majors and you know, we miss it, and we miss it a lot. And I was listening to Sirius XM to some of the stuff on there, and for a long time they were playing old tournaments, you know, and replaying old broadcasts. And but now they've kind of moving back in the direction of getting their live shows on. And of course, the live shows, all they're talking about is the coronavirus.
The Blitz.
So I wonder, is Evan Gattis
taking over the world? It's crazy. It's a crazy, crazy time. But you know what? We'll get through it. And like I said in the beginning, we're every day we're a day closer to being away from this thing.
Hey, glad you're with us. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Many different ways to connect. You can join us online at Twitter, at eRadio Sports Podcast, arena.com. Our weekly guest, always so special when we have a conversation with Larry Miller, former PGA Tour player, and we are inside the ropes. You can check him out, LarryMillerGolf.com. You know, Larry, we opened up this segment and mentioned that you and your wife, your family, you guys are in the state of Louisiana. I have to mention, since we were just talking about a couple of NFL legends with Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, Drew Brees, the fact that he gifted, what, $25 million to relief efforts for the coronavirus. What was your reaction to that when you heard about it?
Well, Drew's been, you know, here in New Orleans since the day he arrived. He came to the Saints right after Katrina when the city was devastated, and I mean really devastated. And from the day one, from the day he put that cap and jersey on at the press conference, he has done nothing but stepped up for this city on and on from that day on. From and that started in 2006. And every year he's doing something. He and his wife, Brittany, are unbelievable philanthropists here in New Orleans. And so it's no surprise as soon as this thing got serious that they stepped up with that kind of donation, and they're feeding people. But no, he's been like that since day one. He's an unbelievable human being, not just a Hall of Fame quarterback, but just a Hall of Fame person too. And he really is. What you see is what you get with him, and he's the same all the time. And very, very considerate person. You know, even if you talk to him personally, you know, he doesn't just talk to you and think about something else. He engages you, and when he talks to you, you're the only person in the world. Just a special human being, and we've been so lucky to have him, and this could be his last year here, and there'd be nothing sweeter than to see him go out with another Super Bowl ring.
Our PGA News and Notes will continue with Larry Miller after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour 2, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Right now, let's go back inside the ropes with Larry Miller. You know, there's so many NFL quarterbacks. I think of Tony Romo. I just mentioned Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. Does Drew Brees, does he play golf? What do you know?
He does. He does play golf. In fact, he plays in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am every year out there in California. And he's actually he's a pretty good player. He doesn't get to play much,
okay,
of course,
yeah,
except during the off season. But if Drew could work on his game on a daily basis, he'd probably be a single-digit handicap and maybe even lower to, you know, 2 or 3 handicap pretty quickly. Because, you know, of course, he's a tremendous athlete. He was a great baseball player, too. He can do everything athletically. So I'm sure, given the time, he could become a really, you know, really fine golfer. He already is. He hits a lot of good shots, and he's got a good swing if you see it. So, I think Drew, when he retires, his handicap might go down.
Well, I think when Drew retires, he just got to get a hold of you. You are there in the state of Louisiana. You can be his personal swing coach, right, Larry?
Yeah, I sent him one of my books, and I told him, I said, Drew, when you hang it up, I said, if you want to see how good you get, just ring me up. I'll take care of you.
Hey, if you're just tuning in tonight, one of Larry's books, his latest release, is Ben Hogan's Secret Fundamental, What He Never Told the World. Larry, let's pause and have you connect with our audience. Where can they find out more information on your books? And also, perhaps they want a tip or two during this time of year.
Yeah, it's a good time to do that since we're sitting home with our computers a lot. It's LarryMillerGolf.com, and it's a website where you can send me videos of your golf swing. I will take a look, diagnose the the problems, if there are any, and of course we all have them, and then I'll tell you how to fix them, and I'll get on the phone with you, and we'll have a long conversation about your swing and your game and how to make it better. So got the time now, so check it out, LarryMillerGolf.com.
Glad you've been with us tonight. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We've been inside the ropes with our very special guest, Larry Miller. You and Connie, stay safe. Have a great weekend. We look forward to another conversation next week. Thank you so much, Larry.
Same to all you listeners, too. Social distancing, it's important.
That, of course, is Larry Miller, joins us each and every week right here on SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio. A big thank you to all of our amazing guests who inspire each and every one of us and give us hope. We